Everyone can do the impossible. This is Dr. Herbert O. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Everyone can do the impossible. Why do I say everyone can do the impossible? Because the impossible is just something we have not perhaps tried. We have not really gone into it expecting we could do it. If a mother sees her child being run over by a car, you know, and it's in the driveway, and she's got to lift the car off the child somehow to save the child's life, she lifts it with her bone and back, with her own muscle. If she got the jack out, she could do it easily too, but the thing is, you got to wait too long. You know, the child could die in the process. So she lifts it. Now, she's lifting the car off the child. How does she get the child out? Does she take one hand and lift the car, and the other hand pull the kid out? You know, or her foot and kick the kid out or something? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the impossibility of that? The actual impossibility of that? And yet, it is done far more often than we know. And you know why I say it's done far more often than we know? Because people are afraid to tell that it happened, because they will look so stupid for allowing their child to be in such a dangerous position. And the government will take their kid away from them because they'll find them to be an abusive parent who is not taking care of their child right. And so they don't tell when they do these things, when they do these marvelous, and that's very true, they do these marvelous things. And they're not thinking, because they're just like everybody else, and they get busy on something else. And you know how it would be. You're sitting there watching television and forgetting that the kid is alone in the front yard, you know? And mothers answer the telephone while the kid is in the sink taking a bath, and the kid slips down and gets under the water, you know, and drowns. And that's carelessness. I mean, what's more important, the kid or the television, or the telephone, you know? And you see, these are our priorities. These are our impossibilities. Now you say, well, that could never happen. It happens all the time. You'd be amazed how often it happens. And you know, the Chinese have a difficult time in killing their children, because they set them outside their house at night and leave them out there in the cold to die, because they're only allowed to have one child or two children or whatever it is. And so what are they going to do? They're going to keep the boy or the girl? And so they have to decide what they're going to do. Now, for years and years and years and years, in our knowledge, in our lifetime, they did this. And of course, now they have a new program over in China, and I think that the new program offers a little more latitude, although, laugh at this if you like. In China, you're allowed one dog. You cannot have more than one dog in your family. Isn't that interesting? Of course, if you're a kennel or something like that, that might be a little different, but one dog. And now, how many people like more than one dog? Lots of people. Lots of people. They just love dogs. And of course, it's not hard to love dogs, because every dog has his own little speciality and his own little wonderful. Well, do you know that it's impossible to have more than one dog in China, so to speak. Whatever their rules are today, they change every day, so it's hard to say. But you know what they do? They go to their neighbors and they say, if I have to say where my other dogs belong, can I say that one belongs to you? Sure. One belongs to you? Sure. You know, now, they keep the dogs at their house, take care of them. But if they're ever checked, well, you got four dogs. You're only allowed to have one. Well, the other three belong to my friends here, you know. Well, why have you got them? Well, because I'm training them, you know. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. You know. So, you see, nothing is impossible. Now you say, well, those are most logical, most understandable things. No, they aren't. When you're dealing with the government, and you're dealing with a Gestapo-type government, as China's government is and was, that's not an easy thing to do. That's not an easy thing to do. Now, what did Hogan do in Hogan's Heroes every time some of the Gestapo or other type of military empowerment people tried to have their way. What did Hogan do with those people? He did one very simple thing consistently in everything he did. Do you remember what he did? What he did was he made them afraid of their own fear. Now, the Gestapo agents, they were very tough on interrogation, okay? So, Hogan said, I know, and he named some of the people who were higher than they were. Can you imagine what your general so-and-so is going to say when he hears that you've done this here and you've done that? And then, you know, then he'll really get on your back. And then, go ahead. You can go in. You can do this. You can take it out. You know, because he knew how to turn their own fear upon them so that nothing was impossible to him. Now, that seems very unusual. And seems very, but it works. What is the standard brand phrase mothers have used for years with their children? Wait until
Daddy comes home.
And then, okay. You know? But the thing is, all you got to do is give them that fear. Wait until Daddy comes home. When your father comes home, I'll let him take care of you. You know, and that's terrible. That's child abuse at the extreme form, because they can't protect themselves. There's no way. And then their father becomes a big ogre. Or the policeman, I'm going to have the policeman come in and take care of you. I'm going to have the Gestapo come in and do this. And, you know, whatever the case may be. But if you are a Hogan, or at least the Hogan's Heroes Hogan, you will have these things so smooth in your heart that you'll be untouched by them. Mm-hmm. And like Hogan says, that woman is so beautiful, she is so good, she can't be a counter spy, you know. She has to be on our side, you know. And of course, he found out she was, but meanwhile, he put her in jeopardy, not realizing that she really was. But then it was very easy for him to make a few little changes whereby she was free and sent off to England. But it's impossible. It's impossible. And yet they do it. Now, Ellen and Anita went to the store today, and they were watching girls taking care of babies in the dining area and the food mall. And as they were there, these girls who were taking care of these babies were abundantly built girls. They were not the slim, trim type. They had a little butt. And so, as they were bending over, their pants pulled down over their butt, you know, like children oftentimes do these days, to wear their trousers low. Well, these were ladies wearing them low as they bent over with these tight trousers on. And Ellen and Anita sat there laughing, having a circus time, and then they looked around and they saw an 18-year-old boy looking there and shaking his head back and forth saying, what an indiscreet group of ladies those are, you know, that they allow themselves to be doing that. That's, for young teenagers, that's one thing, but you know, these are mothers, these are women, mature women. And then the boy who was around cleaning up the place, he was sweeping things into the little trash, you know, and he kept looking over at this adventure that was going on over there, and he thought to himself, my, you know. Haven't seen anything like this since a long time. But, you see, you might say that's an impossible thing. These women are women of responsibility. They're taking care of these children. And they're not supposed to be putting on a show with their behinds, you know. But they were. And they did. And they, if they were questioned, which they weren't, but if they were questioned, they would see nothing wrong with what they were doing. Mm-mm. Because that is the fashion, and that's what the children, young people are doing. It's just that the older people trying to act young, do these things, and sometimes fall a little short. which is okay. But you see, they're doing the impossible. The utterly impossible. If you were to say, my babysitter is a streaker, you know, my babysitter showing themselves off. You say, oh, no, hardly, no. But and they don't think of themselves as doing that.
No.
And they were the most sensitive, caring people with the babies, doing their job as most dedicated sitters or whatever they were with the children, doing just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, our life, you say, well, those are rather simple, mundane, impossible tasks that they were doing. Yeah, that's just the beginning. You want another difficult task? You want a difficult task? Can you make a gadget that will split an atom? Lots of people have done it. Split an atom? You can't even see it. How do you split something you can't see? Well, you got to take a magnifying glass to go down and see what it looks like. And then once you get there, it is one of the essences of nature, and you can't get in there very easily. Its pants don't come down that easily, you know. And there's no crack there. When you split that atom, you have to really know what you're doing. And then once you split it, how do you contain the energy you let loose when you split the atom? And that's utterly amazing. And yet that energy that you let loose, if you can capture it, if you can control it, impossible! If you control, they're doing it. If you can control it, then you can give light to a city, like these atomic generators that we have going all over the country, all over the world. It's utterly fantastic, you know? Now, the wind is blowing. How do you control the wind? Well, you put a propeller up there. Well, how big a propeller can you put up there? As big as you can put up there. So we look over the hill over here from up on the Oasis bench over there, and we see 25 propellers. They're over at the Golden Acorn Casino, and they go off into the hills. 25 of them. You can see them from here. At night, you can see the red lights flashing. And they're just really magnificent. And if you take your camera, that camera, and you make that camera into, what do you call, distant, you know.
Zoom it.
You zoom it, thank you. You zoom. You can really see those windmills very clearly. I mean, you wouldn't think that zooming would be that great, but you can zoom right in to over at the windmills. Now, that's amazing. Now, with my iPhone, it doesn't have a zoom on it. It doesn't have this on it. Now, there's no way to have that on that little tiny iPhone. Well, there is. And it's available as an app that has been designed by an outside company. You just pay 99 cents and you can put it on your phone. And you can have a zoom lens on it, and you can have many other things. Now, it's amazing. Now, right now the iPhone has 3 pixels of division for taking pictures. Well, now, our other things, we have 8 and 16 on it. Well, the next iPhones that will come out, if iPhone doesn't do it itself, an app will come out making it a 16 megapixel for taking pictures. That's unbelievable. How big were the cameras that we had only a few years ago that did that sort of thing? Monstrous boxes. You know, the commercial photographer, he had monster boxes. Well, now, we can do these same things with our little thing. I can take beautiful pictures, pictures from on top of the mountain looking down into the valley of, where is that over in Switzerland? Mount Skeg or something like that. And
Matterhorn.
No. Well, all right, the Matterhorn. Oh. So, go
San
ahead.
Santis.
Huh?
Santis.
Mount Santi. You were with me.
Yes.
Let's be glad you remembered it.
Yes.
Okay, the impossible. So, we were at Mount Santi. And I took a picture up at the tower of the tall thing. I took a picture down into the valley with my little iPhone. Mm-hmm. And I took pictures of each other of us. And they were as good as their pictures mm-hmm. taken with the digital cameras, yeah. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The impossible, it's only a matter of when do you want it?
Yeah.
You know? And these iPhone people with their applications, apps they're called, would have come out much sooner if they were given permission from iPhone to do it. And now they're given permission, and they're just fabulous. Just fabulous. Now, what's next on the line? Well, we shall see. We shall see. Now, the new iPhone is able to bring in from here all sorts of 3G on three different levels of internet and bring it in very fast, whereas this one is just a little bit slow for anything out of the broadband range. So it's quite fascinating what beautiful things are taking place. What one moment was called impossible. One moment not too long ago. And now it's common, very common. And here's this baby, and dozens of companies are out trying to compete with it, to have a look-alike to do the exact same thing. And the Chinese not only have a look-alike, they copied the whole thing, and they manufactured 40 million of them, and they're selling them throughout China as an iPhone, which they are, but not going through the normal procedure, which is not kosher. But again, the impossible. By the time they get stopped, they will have made 40 million phone sales at $300. So 300 times 40 million, woo-wee! The impossible. You can do the impossible. Just tell yourself, as I told Rhonda. I said, Rhonda, are you the ideal woman? Yes. Oh, yes. Well, then you should have the ideal man in your life. Oh, yes. And if any man comes in your life who's not the ideal man, just keep open. The ideal man will be there because you're the ideal woman and you will have the ideal man. It's just that's the way it's got to be. Now, do you have the ideal son? Yes. Is he fabulous in every way? Yes. Now, are you the ideal wife? Yeah. See, she's not so sure about that. She doesn't want to be a wife. She wants to be an ideal woman, and that's great. But now, are you the ideal wife? If you're the ideal wife, then you might create the ideal husband in your world. But make sure that the man you create as your ideal husband is the ideal husband and not a makeshift. Because the ideal woman would not get along well with a makeshift ideal husband. You know why? Because she would look at the husband and see him as an ideal husband, and whatever his other reality is, he couldn't be it. And if he really didn't want to be an ideal husband, he would soon split the scene. Because nothing's impossible. Open your eyes and enjoy the fact that nothing's impossible. I love you. I love you. I love you.